Hey folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down, my blood sugar is down, my weight's down, my health is up, my sleeping patterns are better, my metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. Hello, America. Happy Easter Sunday. If you celebrate the Christian faith or any faith, this is such a special day. It's a beautiful day in spring. It's a time of renewal. It's a time of thanks that for those of us in the Christian faith, knowing that our Lord and Savior gave us redemption from our sinful ways and our errors. And Lord knows I'm a sinner. It's always a great day to feel renewed and reinvigorated in our faith and our commitment, not only to our Lord, but also to our fellow Americans, our fellow citizens here on this earth. It's an important day. So happy Easter. Hope you're having fun. Hope you haven't overdosed on the kids' Easter basket or had too many hard-boiled eggs yet. Oh man, we did some egg coloring. I just love that. I'm still a little kid when it comes to coloring eggs. I do it with my very special son, Josh, and we laugh and we fun. And every year, somehow I come up with the ugliest egg color. I don't know how I do it, but my family consistently tells me, I don't know how you did that. That's true. I don't know how I came up with that color. Well, anyways, we had a great Easter. I hope you are too. On this Easter Sunday, we've got a great lineup. Talk about an Easter buffet, at least for food for thought. The West Virginia Attorney General, Patrick Morrissey, is running for governor in that state and leading, by the way, in the Republican primary. But Patrick Morrissey, he's been leading the lawfare against some of the Biden administration's overreaching regulatory issues, winning often. He's going to bring us up to speed, including on the new EV mandate, the new tailpipe emissions designed to force people to convert to electric vehicles, even though the chargers aren't there yet, even though the power isn't there, even though the long mileage and sustenance isn't there, even though the issues with pollution and battery disposal aren't solved. Well, that's why the transition doesn't make sense yet. And that's why Patrick Morrissey is trying to intervene. He'll give us a great update in the first block. Victoria Coates, former Deputy National Security Advisor, she's got some pretty provocative things to say about Joe Biden and his Israel policy. And also, why is the United States trying to go back to the Palestinian Authority and say, you can go back and take over Gaza? They lost it to Hamas. They have a long history of corruption. Victoria Coates is going to wait on that. I think it's going to be a fun conversation this Easter Sunday. Someone who got some great news last week. He's now the CEO of a multi-billion dollar valued company, Trump Media and Technology Group, CEO Devin Nunes, the guy that got us Truth Social up and running, made the president a whole bunch of billions of new dollars. He's going to join us to talk about what happened on that front this week. John Tillman, one of my good friends and a really smart guy when it comes to pragmatic politics, common sense politics. He's been working and preaching and educating conservatives why they got to get in on the early voting game. He'll give us a great update. He wrote a big op-ed that got a lot of attention. I think it was in the Wall Street Journal. We're going to talk about that. Then we'll round out always with a good friend, Jason Isaac. He's got a lot to say. What a good show, right? Patrick Morrissey, Victoria Coates, Devin Nunes, John Tillman, Jason Isaac on this Easter Sunday brunch edition of John Solomon Reports. Now, before we go to the commercial break, it's the last few hours of March. And in those last few hours, it's your last chance to make a donation to Alliance Defending Freedom. If you believe in the fight for freedom that they are waging in the courts for more than 30 years, winning often, they've got 2 big Supreme Court cases going on right now. One defending Idaho's abortion law. the other, fighting to protect women from certain issues and safety issues with the FDA. These are going to be historic cases that set new precedent, Alliance Defending Freedom. If you want to help them, you want to join them, you say, I don't want to be on the sidelines, I want to get in the game, all you got to do, you can make a donation of any size, $5, $10, $20, whatever it is, go to joinadf.com/John, joinadf.com/John, J-O-H-N. You can make a donation there. You can also learn about what ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom, has been doing, is doing, and is going to do. They have a great website, very educational. If you're a patriot fighting for freedom, this is one of those groups that have been in the fight a long time. They win. Lawfare. Remember, the liberals use lawfare all the time to try to change the rules and the dialogue to their advantage. Well, ADF is one of those groups on the other side, counterbalancing, and they score a lot of wins. These two Supreme Court cases are going to be epic and important. Keep an eye on them. And if you want to be part of the movement, join them. They're trying to raise $5,000 by the end of this month, so just a few hours from now. From the Just the News, John Solomon Reports community, if you want to go join and you're so inspired to donate, joinadf.com/John. That's where you go and get started on that journey. joinadf.com/JOHN. John. All right. We'll be back in just a few seconds with Patrick Morrissey. Don't go anywhere.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
We've got a great first guest today. As you know, people are still coming to grips with the effect of the green energy movement that Joe Biden has unleashed on this country. EV manufacturers teetering near bankruptcy. Americans paying higher and higher energy rates. Well, our first guest, he's been on the front lines of trying to reverse that trend in the courts. West Virginia Attorney General Patrick Morrissey, who's now running to be the state's governor, joins us now. Mr. Attorney General, good to have you on, sir.
Hey, it's good to be with you, John and Amanda. There's a lot going on the energy front as well. So excited to talk to you about how we're pushing back against the Green New Deal.
You are at the forefront. And I know West Virginia versus EPA set the tone, set the victories in line that have been coming ever since down the courts. A new EV rule the other day, new tailpipe emission rule. It doesn't bode well for the future of American auto workers. There's already been some layoffs announced in the last couple of days. What the president is doing is setting up an auto industry for failure. A lot of people believe. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I do. I think there are huge problems ahead. And I'd like to just take a moment to explain to the American people just how problematic it is. So imagine a scenario when you're telling people that you're trying to get to 68-70% of people in America driving electric vehicles by 2032. And they're trying to effectively mandate this to happen. You're doing that when, number one, the business model doesn't exist for charging of the cars. Number two, the average electric vehicle is going to cost $10,000 or more than the typical car. Number three, they're trying to get rid of the catalytic converter and get rid of your traditional cars that have been operating well for very, very long. And they're doing all of this in an environment where the demand for EVs is so bad that the American public doesn't want to buy them. Places like West Virginia, why would you want to buy an EV when you might be able to go 200 miles normally with a charge? In West Virginia, we're hilly, we're more mountainous. That might be 100 miles. Let's go even deeper. They're doing all this to drive new demands for electricity, and then they're trying to wipe out the coal-fired power plants and the natural gas plants that they need to fuel the power grid. This is lunacy at its worst. And that's why we've been out in front pushing back against this. Obviously, we're going to be in court. We're fighting this. And I think this is yet another major overreach. And they're going to go down in court the way they have in most of the other regulations they've issued over the last few years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. And some of these auto manufacturers are going to have to spend in the millions, possibly billions, to retool their production lines. I wanted to ask you, though, about a tactic, because as I was reading about this and the fact that they're not explicitly forcing EVs, but because of these tailpipe emissions, that's effectively what it does. And it makes me think of what this administration is trying to do with the Second Amendment, especially in places like California. They're not outlawing the guns. The Supreme Court has put roadblocks in the way, but they're making ammunition nearly unpurchasable because it's so expensive. How do we stop this circumvention of federal law to push their agenda? How do we stop that?
Well, I think you need to do it in a number of different ways, and the key rests with the state. So one of the things I try to do as a state attorney general is work with my colleagues to file one lawsuit after another. I think we filed three or four lawsuits over the last few weeks in the energy arena. We have a lot more to oppose kind of the woke agenda of the Biden administration. But the first thing you have to do is be the point of the spear legally against the unlawful activity that's going on in Washington. The second thing you do is you have to organize the governors and state officials more generally. So you're not only opposing what's happening in Washington from a legal perspective, you're pushing back on economic, on finance, on policy, public relations, politically, and you have to have 20, 25 states who are all moving in the exact same direction, because this administration is going to bend every rule to have their way, and the states need to make a lot of noise to say this would lead to a depression in our state. We can't have that. Otherwise, these guys are just going to keep jumping and pushing and pushing and pushing until they get their way.
I think the most interesting turn, obviously, you've scored a lot of victories in the courts, as have some of the other AGs. But the sentiments of the American people have turned. I think everybody wants clean water, clean air. We agree on that. But now they realize that there's been a manipulated market. And the only outcome for them is our energy bills at home to keep our house warm or cool are going up. Our cars are getting far more expensive. Everything's getting more expensive because of this green energy spending that occurred. Is this an election where clean energy, which has been pretty popular in a concept, now the reality becomes a negative liability for the Democrats?
Well, I think that the issue is really government overreach will become the big issue, because, look, I support clean air and clean water. I bet you both do as well.
Sure.
And we all want to make sure we take advantage of the beauty that we have in West Virginia or across the country. But I think what these guys are doing has nothing to do with the environment. It has to do with setting up a command and control system to direct American consumers in the states toward a particular way of life. And that's not a very desirable way of life. Imagine what happens if you go after and shut down successfully all of the coal-fired power plants and the natural gas. We're not going to have the resources to charge up these electric vehicles, or quite frankly, keep the air conditioner on in the summer or keep the heat going in the winter. These are very real problems. And I think that the Biden administration, just in their desperate attempt to appeal to their donors and to their far left crowd, they're doing everything imaginable to say they're for the environment, but there are real serious consequences. And I believe President Trump's going to be our nominee, that this is a great issue for President Trump to run on, because not only will he do very well in Appalachia, I think this goes all the way out to the Rust Belt. If you're looking at Pennsylvania and Ohio and Michigan and Wisconsin, these are issues that matter because they go to the core of American life. And we can't afford the radical agenda coming from the Biden administration.
That's right. Yeah, you both are absolutely spot on. And inflation hits everyone in everything except fentanyl. Fentanyl prices have not gone up. And there is a woman in Maryland who just admitted to authorities of distributing 9,000 fentanyl pills. I think she had 10 distributors throughout the state of West Virginia. The opioid crisis has not gone away in West Virginia, has it?
No, it hasn't. And right now, the biggest challenge we're seeing is that you have this fentanyl, these ingredients that come from China. They get shipped over to the Mexican drug cartels. The drug cartels package these products together, and then they ship them across the border. They go between the ports of entry, within the ports of entry. It's a huge problem. And West Virginia then bears the brunt of this terrible border problem through the drug trafficking that's occurring. It is hurting our citizens. It is killing so many people, and it's avoidable. The Biden administration could step up and push back against it. Fortunately, states are stepping up and pushing back. I've joined with Texas and many other states to say, no, this is enough. I know that governors and AGs are all doing everything they can to try to force the Biden administration to do its job, or at a minimum, let the state step in and do what the federal government is not. This is a literal invasion of the U.S., and we have to treat it as such.
Sarah, I know why you're doing all this important legal work and setting national legal precedent. You're also running for governor of West Virginia. New poll has you up 2-1, I believe I saw the other day. Congratulations on that. What is when you're out on the campaign trail and you're running for governor, what are you hearing is the big issue for voters? We've got about a minute left.
Yeah, I think people want a proven conservative with the record of getting really big things done. You know, I have some of my opponents, they're literally just going to make things up or say that they're for a particular issue. But I think voters are smart. They know when you've been there, you've done that, you've worked on the issues. Obviously, I'm strongly pro-life, pro-Second Amendment. I'm the proven conservative over a long period of time. We've gone after the woke agenda, whether it's trying to protect the integrity of women's sports, it's trying to have sanity with respect to these bathroom directives that you see, or it comes to protecting our jobs in West Virginia, the famous West Virginia BPA case. We've done everything imaginable to try to fight and win for West Virginia.
Wow, what a great interview. General Morrissey, always full of great ideas. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Victoria Coates, we're going to be talking about Israel, Ukraine, Russia. Oh, a lot of things to talk about there with the former Deputy National Security Advisor to President Trump right after these messages.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
She is the head of Heritage Foundation's foreign policy thing, the vice president for foreign policy at Heritage, former deputy national security advisor, great friend of the show, Victoria Coates joins us right now. Victoria, great to have you back on.
Good to be with you both. And I just have to point out, Amanda, it was not opening day today for either Philadelphia or Atlanta because we had a rainstorm. So very excited, but we've been a little bitter today in Philadelphia.
A little rain delay, yeah.
That's a good reason. That's unfair. All right. Well, Victoria, good to have you on. You are such a sage voice when it comes to security. I've been wondering a lot. I want to start with this. I don't think a lot of Americans have understand the gravity of this. But Tony Blinken, the Biden administration, trying to prop up the Palestinian Authority to be the next ruler of Hamas. This is a Palestinian Authority that has two decades of corruption history behind it. And got thrown out in favor of Hamas. Gazans chose Hamas over this authority. Is this a really legitimate route for them to restore government in Gaza?
No. And I mean, this is really it's a failed approach of the past, John. I mean, time and time again. And there's bipartisan blame to go around on this. We can get into it with the United Nations action, which goes back to a situation at the end of the Bush administration. But the idea that the Palestinian Authority is a somehow legitimate partner for any kind of peace is it's just failed. I mean, I wish it were so. I mean, everyone wishes that the Palestinians had some kind of legitimate representation with which a deal could be reached. Nobody wishes more for that than the Israelis, but they're not. And pretending that they are is just going to perpetuate the horrible cycle of violence that we saw so clearly on October 7th, that the Palestinian Authority was powerless to prevent that. and they will be going forward. And Mahmoud Abbas, the president of it, is now, and I can't remember what, the 15th or 16th year of his four-year term. He just never held elections again. You know, so the idea that they are some kind of democratic representation of the Palestinian people is just false. So they're doubling down on the failures of the past. They're retreading that well-worn road to hell, paved with good intentions, but completely failed.
Yeah. And, you know, the Biden administration, I think, has tried to straddle both sides of this argument the entire time, because he's got half his base that is, you know, pro-Palestinian and half his base that's pro-Israel. And, you know, but I think he picked a side. I mean, he certainly picked a side with this UN resolution by abstaining from vetoing it, much to the chagrin and, quite frankly, fury of Israel. John was asking about this legitimate route for Palestinians. What's the legitimate route for Joe Biden to not lose on both sides of this?
No, he's really created a kind of a trap for himself here, because on the one hand, he wants to be perceived as pro-Israel, particularly in a state like Pennsylvania. There's a reason you're hearing Senator John Fetterman be so forthright in his solidarity with Israel, which is obviously very welcome. I'd like him to vote that way. But at least the rhetoric is nice. But Senator Fetterman knows that if you're going to win Pennsylvania statewide, you have to win the collar counties around Philadelphia and the communities in Pittsburgh, which are traditionally Jewish, have traditionally been very liberal, but are also very pro-Israel. And then you contrast that with the issues they have in Michigan, particularly the counties around Dearborn, Michigan, which they have to win at a certain percentage to win the rest of the state. And those tend to be Arab Americans that are very pro-Palestinian. And so one example of this is what they did at the United Nations on Monday by abstaining from Resolution 2728, which shamefully did call for an immediate ceasefire and did not make the release of the hostages contingent on that. So it opened the door for the first time that the Hamas may be able to keep the hostages and get a ceasefire. This was a demand from Russia and China after, even more shockingly in a way, the Biden administration had presented their own version of this resolution, which was vetoed by Russia and China. They demanded this change, and the Biden administration caved to that. And so, yes, we are now on the record as saying that, yes, we would like a ceasefire and we would like these hostages to be released, but we don't see these two as integrally linked. And that's the only kind of language the Israelis would have supported. They should have vetoed it. Abstention is, in a way, the worst of both worlds, because you're not affirming support for something. You're not preventing it. You're just saying nothing. Right. And I think that kind of attempt to have it both ways, again, is doomed to failure.
Yeah. Say nothing, say something too late, do something wrong. It seems to be the three elements of their foreign policy right now. It really is shocking to watch. Victoria, there was comments made in the last 24 hours by the Ukrainian president, Zelensky, saying that, hey, if I don't get my aid now, Russia's going to invade all the other NATO countries. Does Russia have any ambition right now to move into NATO countries, or is Ukraine enough of a problem for it?
Well, that's a really interesting question, John, because, you know, one thing we haven't covered is the successful ISIS attack, on the Crocus Hall in Moscow earlier this week, which killed more than 100 people and suggests that maybe Putin's vaunted grip on his security apparatus isn't quite as firm as he would like us to believe. Maybe he is stretched thin in Ukraine. And I think the notion of tangling with a NATO country is probably the furthest thing from his mind. Now, I understand President Zelensky's urgency to get aid. I think the Biden administration has been, frankly, dishonest with him, that they're going to do as much as it takes, as long as it takes, because that's not in their power to control. Right. And so you can't make that promise. And, you know, they're going to have to come to Congress. I think the only thing that has a shot would be a very tailored military-based package for Ukraine with a strategy presented by the president as to how this is going to help the Ukrainians win the war and what we're going to require of our NATO partners to contribute on their side to this European war. And if I think absent that, you're going to have a lot of trouble moving anything through the House.
Yeah, good point.
I sure do miss the days when on the foreign policy front, there wasn't a whole lot to talk about. But now it seems like every hemisphere, there's something brewing. Speaking of down in Cuba, apparently a few weeks ago, I guess mid-March, Protests began to erupt over food shortages and other necessities. And you penned an op-ed that I think is incredible. And we don't have Cuba conversations very often, but this op-ed, the way to Cuba's heart is through the internet. Talk to us about what is happening in Cuba right now and what you spoke of in your op-ed.
Yeah, the situation in Cuba right now is analogous to what went what happened with Iran in the fall of 2019, when the Iranian government, because of its economic mismanagement, was forced to cut food subsidies or fuel subsidies, rather, to the Iranian people, who were furious about this and went into massive protests. And when that happened, Iran cut off the internet. And one of the things we asked at the time is, gee, could we get free internet to these protesters? The answer at that point was no. But the answer now is yes, technically. And so as the protests in Cuba, which are about cutting subsidies, particularly for food, the Cuban people are literally starving, you know, and are rightfully protesting against the horrible mismanagement of the island by the last vestiges of the Castro regime. You know, wouldn't we want to do, you know, what we're doing for Ukraine? You know, Elon Musk is on a DoD contract to provide Starlink internet to Ukraine. Now, you know, you don't have the same kind of control state you have in Cuba, so it's a little bit more complicated, as my co-author Rob Greenway, who I know has been a guest of yours as well, and Rob and I worked on the Iran piece together, which is why we wanted to write this. There are a lot of options that if the Biden administration wanted to pursue to get the internet turned back on in Cuba, because the regime's turned it off to prevent the protesters from communicating or getting their videos out, you know, we could do this. It would take a lot of organization, a heavy lift by Congress and the State Department. But shouldn't free speech be our brand? Senator Cruz tweeted that this afternoon. That should be our brand. We should be exporting free speech to these oppressed people who just want their freedom. And so I think that would be, you know, a generational change to get a more U.S.-friendly government in Cuba, you know, lessen the Russian and the Chinese influence. This is right off of our shores. It should be a topic of great interest to the United States government. I'm glad the Congress is looking at it.
Yeah, an important op-ed, too. I saw Ted Cruz tweeted that at Elon Musk, an opportunity for Elon Musk maybe to spread some free speech to another country. It'd be really great. Victoria, got about a minute left. Real quickly, last night we lost an elder statesman, Joe Lieberman, a tireless defender of Israel, a guy that tried to find consensus in security matters. How big a loss for the country?
It's massive. And Senator Lieberman and I used to joke that we disagreed 100% of the time on domestic policy, and we agreed 100% of the time on Middle East Iran policy. And he was, you know, a great example of somebody with whom you could have very strong disagreements, but always cordially, always politely. We didn't take it personally. We collaborated where we could. I considered him a good friend. And it's, you know, his last op-ed in The Wall Street Journal was lambasting Chuck Schumer for his indefensible comments on Netanyahu. So he really was a model of a statesman. Yes, he was of a different political persuasion than I, but he was a wonderful man, and this is a sore loss.
All right, we got a good one after the commercial break. Devin Nunes, yeah, he now presides over a multi-billion dollar company, corporate empire. Trump Media and Technology Group, the parent company for Truth Social, had a big week on Wall Street. We'll explain why and what it means for the president's net worth, for Devin Nunes' ability to do more free speech activity on Truth Social right after these messages.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome
Welcome back to the show. You just might have heard the news by now, but if you haven't, listen up. Former President Donald Trump's Truth Social company will begin trading under the ticker DJT tomorrow, putting the 2024 GOP frontrunner and his initials at the helm of a publicly traded company in the midst of courtroom chaos. And while all eyes are on the former president tonight, we are honored to be joined by the man who skipped out on Congress a few years back to work through the red tape of the SEC and other unbelievable bureaucracy in order to get the Trump Media and Technology Group to where it will be tomorrow. A very exciting day. So joining us right now is former California congressman and current CEO of Truth Social, Devin Nunes. Congressman, welcome back to the show. Congratulations to you. A little bit early, but nonetheless, congratulations.
Always, always a pleasure to be on with you, both of you, and with, you know, not only Real America's Voice, but just the news. And if I can just take over your show here, you know, because it's what I normally do anyway when I come on your show. But look, nobody has been better to Truth Social. There's been very few news outlets, but I just have to say Real America's Voice, and along with Just the News, you guys have been phenomenal. And I'm just pleased that you guys were not only on Truth Social from the very beginning, but one of the only few to not report the fake news. So I just can't thank both of you enough. And look, we look forward to going from what we've been a little R&D company with a massive following, with getting hit by the fake news all the time. And they really stopped us from acquiring access to the capital markets. Well, that day's gone. And I jokingly say we now get to become an actual startup with real financing and getting access to the capital markets that most conservative companies have had a tough time to do. Because remember, we're a real threat. We're trying to create an opportunity so that people can always access the internet, but they're not going to be shut down by big tech. And we're one of the only games in town. And now we're actually going to be a true startup. So we're very pleased. And like I said, thank you so much for always letting me come on and try to get the truth out.
Of course. And I wanted to ask you something about what you said. I mean, first of all, the timing of this is spectacular. Around the time that Letitia James is trying to remove Trump Tower from New York City, his initials are literally forevermore going to be, or for the foreseeable future, plastered at the stock exchange. But with respect to what you were saying about conservative entities and organizations, it has been hard for them to break through for public trading and to really make it into the marketplace. It's been a long haul for you guys. Advice to other companies that are trying to do this.
Look, I don't think it would have been possible without DJT, former President Trump, along right. with, you know, there were some 400,000 shareholders that invested in the SPAC, did not deserve to be treated the way that they were treated. This is something that has gone on now for the better part of 2 years. I believe, I don't know for sure, but I think it is the longest process in history from the time that you announce you're going to go public to actually going public. And no company should ever be treated this way by the U.S. government. And look, we worked through it. Everybody's pleased now. But I think most importantly, we'll be happy to be able to go along our business and be a true startup and be able to do the things that we've wanted to do. There's so many things that we've been researching and developing that are critically important to the entire ecosystem so that people, guess what, don't get canceled. That's why we exist. That's our mission. So that if these woke companies want to take Real America's Voice and kick them off of social media and kick them off of the internet, or if, let's say, and this really happened, you remember and how I got into this, you had a company named Parler, that I was one of the early adopters of Parler right. when I was still in the Congress. And then lo and behold, what happened? Donald Trump, many of us got kicked off or were shadow banned on all of social media. The only thing we had left at that time was a company called Parler, probably had a multi-billion dollar valuation, and some 30 U.S. companies completely shut them off. You know, big ones, the ones that you all know about, like Amazon Web Services, right? Cut off their servers. So we've built Truth Social on a strong foundation, working with our partner Rumble, in order to make sure that we can keep this internet open. And there's so much more that we need to build, and this will allow us to do it. And we're just really pleased that we're, you know, this day has now come.
Yeah, it's pretty extraordinary. I know it was a long haul, but just before it happened, there was one of the many signs of just how engaged the Truth Social audience is. The night that Joe Biden gave his State of the Union address, President Trump was, well, live, doing live commentary on it. And the platform blew up. I mean, it was just extraordinary to see all the people on it. You set a record that night. Why is the Truth Social audience so engaged? I mean, I go on Twitter, it's a lot less engaged than it used to be two, three, four, 5 years ago. So engaged on Truth Social. What's the secret to it?
Well, I think number one, we've been a refuge for people that were banned everywhere else. And so why are you going to go back? Right. I mean, like I, you know, even myself, I've got huge followings on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. But you know what? You treated me like crap. I have Truth Social. It's great. We don't have the bots. We don't have all the problems that these other platforms have. Yeah. We have real engagement. I think that's the key. And I'm not going to say we have zero bots, but we do our best to keep them off. And so it's a place that where we're trying to take the best of Twitter, the best of Instagram, the best of TikTok, the best of Facebook, and put it onto one platform. I think the other thing that we do is we're also looking at a company called Reddit. Now, Reddit, been around a long time, almost 20 years. But John, as you know, I think you've talked about this before on your show, I think when we launched it. But we have our groups feature that's very similar to Reddit. You can come on, instead of going to Reddit or Facebook groups, you can come on and create a group. We've got a lot of really fun groups on Truth Social for cooking, for wine, for politics, photography. This is really cool stuff that we're trying to take the best of all the platforms, put it into one. But I think most importantly is that highway, that internet superhighway. We're not beholden to these big tech tyrants that destroyed a company like Parler.
Yeah, can't be blocked.
Well, and you have a brand new user, the Biden campaign. Their very first post was, "We'll see how this goes. Converts welcome." Although I have to bring up a poll from about a month and a half ago. I think it was a New York Times Siena poll that found that only 83% of Biden's 2020 supporters were going to support him again. And 10% are going to Donald Trump to vote for him. So who are the converts he's looking for?
Well, look, the amazing thing here is, and some of it was kind of funny because a lot of the people, you know, were very critical some of our users on Truth Social were like, "Hey, this is, you know, this is for MAGA or this is for conservatives." It's like, no, actually, we're for free speech. And if Biden and his campaign want to come on to Truth Social, they're welcome. And we welcomed him. We announced that he was on the platform. We have the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, is on the platform. And look, I know they want to be here to cause trouble and all of that. But guess what? We're not going to be like the other platforms. Like, we take all sides. If you want to get on there and spew what you want to spew, you know, even though I think people were shocked that when I welcomed them to the platform. And, you know, obviously, everybody knows my politics. I'm not a fan of the Biden administration, surely not a fan of how Newsom is running the state of California, my home state. But look, at the end of the day, we're for free speech and we're going to welcome everybody. We're going to take all comers. As long as you obey the law, and then you're good. You can be on Truth Social.
Yeah, that is refreshing. Devin, you got this pile of money now, and I know you've been doing lots of things. What are some of the features? Could you give us a little taste of what may be ahead? Every day it seems like you're rolling out new stuff, but what is ahead in the future development of Truth Social?
Well, the big issue that's out there is our groups feature that we need to continue to, that we're continuing to approve upon. That's a real fun one because it's something totally different that a lot of people don't have. And it's a place and we keep making it better. So that one's already, it's been launched, but we're making improvements to it. Right. The other issue that we've, you know, disclosed publicly, and I think John, maybe, I don't know if you and Amanda are on there, but we've got, you know, thousands of people now that are testing out our new streaming capability. You know, it's been reported, you know, that we've been looking at this. We publicly disclosed that, you know, we are trying to incorporate streaming so that, let's say, A Real America's Voice gets kicked off of all television platforms, we want to make sure there's a home for Real America's Voice. So that's something we're looking at, is streaming. We've been testing it, developing it. So stay tuned. There's more to come.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
I love it. I want to go back to a little bit of the sausage making process for Truth Social. I know when you guys were first exploring the SPAC option, I mean, the SEC at that point had already started stepping in and trying to create barriers for you all. After tomorrow, when things seem to be soaring, I got to imagine you're still going to be fighting stuff along the way. Do you expect that to come?
Well, look, that's always the case. If it was anybody other than President Trump, who's the majority shareholder, things would be a lot easier. I always joke that if we were a widget company, we would have been approved about 2 years ago. And, you know, I left when I left Washington and went to Create True Social. It was in January of 2022. John, even as a suspect of the government as I am, I thought, well, you know, it's probably it should have happened by March or April would have been the right time for it to happen. Right. So 3 or 4 months. But I thought, maybe it'll happen. Maybe it'll go late summer, early fall. And of course, that never happened. But look, I think it's a testament to President Trump and our whole team saying, look, we're not going to be bullied by the U.S. government. We're going to stick with this. We're going to do whatever we have to do. And we're going to support the people, the innocent people who went out and believed in free speech and went out to invest in that SPAC. We wanted to make sure that we followed this all the way to fruition, and we did it. So I think it's a combination, really, of not just our True Social side with President Trump, but it's also the shareholders and people that want to invest in their freedom. Because really what this is about, it's about your voice. It's about your own freedom. It's not like I always say that I joke, you know, Donald Trump didn't need a new company. I didn't need a new job. But we all needed a place so that we could have our voice and express ourselves in what should be a no-brainer, that free speech should be alive in America, but it's True Social that's making that happen.
All right, folks, don't go anywhere. We got John Tillman up next. Big op-ed, one of the great voices preaching what I've been talking about for years. If Republicans want to stop losing elections, they got to get in early voting. Do it lawfully. Do it right. Don't unilaterally surrender. John Tillman's got a great op-ed, got a great strategy. You got to hear it as we head deeper into this election 2024 season. He'll be up next after these messages.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome back, America. Now that Donald Trump and Joe Biden have locked up their respective nominations for the 2024 general election, all eyes are on the rematch. That's right. It's going to happen in November. Now, that focus naturally lends itself to discussions about the best strategies for victory. And an op-ed published in the Wall Street Journal on Thursday suggests the 45th president should listen to his daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, who was voted in as co-chair of the RNC earlier this month. And we're joined now by the author of that op-ed, my good friend, John Tillman, the chairman and CEO of the American Culture Project. John, great to have you on the show.
Great to be on, John. Thanks for having me.
It is great. This was a provocative but a very important op-ed. I feel like conservatives are realizing they've been behind the train a while and they want to get on the front car this time, particularly when it comes to early voting. Tell us why you wrote it.
I wrote it because I'm still stunned by how many people on the right still avoid playing by the rules of the game as they're actually currently legislated. It's one thing for all of us to want to get back to same day, one day of voting, voter ID, paper ballots, custody of those ballots in a known and proper way. That's where we'd like to get to. To get to that, you have to win by the rules as they exist. And those rules include early voting, vote by mail. And we should not handicap ourselves. The Democrats have mastered it, and we have to match them and exceed them if we want conservative ideas to prevail in the elections going forward.
Yeah, very smart.
I think that's spot on. And, you know, John, I think that we have been hung up on a conservative cultural and philosophical attitude for so long, because conservatives are traditionalists. They like to stick to their principles and their morals. So I get it. I know that we all want to get back to those, you know, same day voting, ballot in English, all of those things. But in the meantime, we've got to stretch it. How does President Trump How does he message on that and encourage people to do it so that they actually do? Because as we've seen with the vaccine messaging, a lot of his supporters, you know, that turns them off, but they're still willing to vote for him. How do we get him to line up with his voters and pull them along on this?
Well, first, by just lining up and saying, I love my daughter-in-law, and I think she's really, really smart. She married my son. And she's right about this too.
That's an easy one.
So that part's easy. And then after that, I think, you know, President Trump has proven over the course of his life to be adaptive when it really is necessary. I mean, he's fairly set in his ways on the one hand. On the other hand, he's adapted himself many, many times in the past. He knows how to pivot. And if ever there was a time to pivot, this is it. He should become the greatest advocate for early voting and vote by mail now to ensure his victory so that then he can lead the country back to the kind of voting security that we want thereafter. And I think that's the logic case in his own mind that he has to settle within his own mind so that he becomes an advocate and the greatest cheerleader for it.
Yeah. He came on this show and said he wants to be the harvester in chief. So I think he's starting to get on message here. So we'll see. It's a big project, John, right? To get the mindset to build the infrastructure for early voting. It's a different mindset than get out the vote on election day. A lot of interesting people getting in the game. Charlie Kirk, America First Action, I guess it's called. Tell us what's being built below the radar that we don't see every day.
Well, there's a lot of different approaches to doing this work, early voting, vote by mail, and where legal ballot harvesting. And you mentioned a few of the people. I've had the privilege, for a variety of interesting reasons, of seeing some of the proposals that people have put out. And I will say that the proposals in terms of cost per vote, which is always hard to measure in advance, but you can get a pretty good measurement after the fact, cost per vote is all over the place. And so one of the things I had in that editorial in the Wall Street Journal print edition on Friday, online on Thursday that you mentioned, John, is that one of the things the party can do, Laura Trump and her new co-chair, is have some transparency. Let's share information. One of my organizations, American Culture Project, has been very involved in this work here in Illinois in some House races, in the mayor's race this past year. We're involved in Virginia, and we're going to be very, very involved in Georgia and perhaps a few other states. One of the things I've done with our donors is we published all of our information and shared it, and we ask other people to do that. Some people do this work through a heavy emphasis on a ground game and door-to-door knocking. We emphasize digital and that approach more so. What we need to know and share across the conservative spectrum is what's the combination that works best. This is a great time to come together to share information.
Yeah, great.
Right. John, I want to ask you about the counter to the early voting argument, because some express concern over the fact that voting early tips cards. If there is some type of, I'll use a euphemistic term, shenanigans by Democrats, then this just kind of reveals to them how many votes they need to make up rather than slamming the system on the day of and them having to scramble. What's your counter to that?
Well, first of all, we're losing taking that approach right now. So I would say that the status quo is a failing strategy. Secondly, the other part of that is the more early voters you put into the bank before the election day, when you actually turn out, that means you have fewer voters on election day for your marketing spend, your door-to-door knocking, your texting programs, your drive programs, and that pool is shrunk. One of the reasons the Democrats have won is because they have a lot smaller job on election day and they have bigger resources because of their infrastructure. We need to shrink the job we have on election day so we can compete better on election day than we are right now by actually expanding and competing better on early voting and vote by mail. There's no way to go back. And one of the other sides of that coin that amazes me when people say that is, don't we have the same advantage? Can't we see what they're doing? Can't we identify how well their areas that are heavy in their favor are turning out? And shouldn't we be then correspondingly adapting as we go? And in the end, it'll be he who executes best with the best policy and leadership, best policy proposers and leadership candidates in all these races all around the country.
Yeah, so important. John, I've done a lot of studying of the Democratic early get out the vote operation, and they focus on low propensity voters, voters who are never going to show up on election day. But if you make it easy beforehand, you get new voters into the system. Some people call them couch potato voters. I think that's kind of unfair. A lot of people are just super busy, may not be able to get to election day. Low propensity voters, is that on the radar the right way for conservatives this time?
That is precisely what we've been doing. And we've been doing it very well in the mayor's race in Chicago last year. There were about 300,000 Republican voters that we could identify who had never voted in the Chicago mayor's race. We got somewhere north of 120,000 of them to vote for the first time. So that is an example.
Amazing.
That and work. And so the strategy there, John, that's important to understand is once you move those low propensity voters in the earlier days, we have time to repeatedly work and market to them and persuade them. Then on your higher propensity voters that are already aligned with you near the end, that takes a lot. That's a much easier lift when you're getting down to the deadline. And it's a much more efficient spend, as I alluded to earlier, because the pool is smaller. That's why the combination has to work that way.
All right, folks, one more good one to go. Jason Isaac always has some profound things to say about politics and where we are in this country. A great interview earlier this week with Amanda and I. Check it out in just a few seconds after these messages.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Welcome back, everybody. If you missed it last week, a clip went viral on social media showing Louisiana Senator John Kennedy grilling cross-country skier Gus Shoemaker, a supposed expert witness. The Democrats rolled out to tell lawmakers why the U.S. should fork out $50 trillion to become carbon neutral. Now, the full clip is on Senator Kennedy's X page. It's about 6 minutes long and worth every second of your time, so I encourage you to go check it out. But just to give you a little sample of what we pulled, one of the best clips from the exchange. So take a look at this.
I mean, you're here as an expert. Tell me more about what carbon dioxide is.
I'm here as an expert cross-country skier who sees the changes in my winters and the landscape that I live in Alaska. And so carbon dioxide is what I see it as is, you know, it's a gas that exists in our atmosphere. And what?
Is it the major part of our atmosphere?
It's a huge part of our atmosphere, yes.
It's actually a very small part of our atmosphere.
Well, okay. But, yeah, I don't know. What are you asking specifically?
Well, you say we need to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. I'd like to know first if you know what it is.
Joining us now to talk about this video is someone who I'm sure got a good laugh while watching it. Jason Isaac, he serves as the CEO of the American Energy Institute. Jason, thanks so much for joining us.
It's great to be on, and I live a high carbon lifestyle, and I think the rest of the world should too, just like Gus Shoemaker there with the ski team.
Oh, Jason, I felt actually really bad for this kid. I don't think that they prepared him. I know that he has his colloquial observation of what happens in Alaska, but I'm pretty sure that every time I talk to a climate activist, when weather is very mild, they say that weather isn't climate. Did they just not prepare this kid, or was he not an expert witness? Why did they? I mean, he was left to the wolves.
Yeah, this is the Protect Our Winters group, a C4, a political action committee that's trying to decarbonize everything that, yes, wants America to spend $50 trillion to reach net zero, which the Biden administration is proving is really impossible. It can't be done, but they want to spend the money anyways, and it doesn't do anything to mitigate a changing climate. It just makes everything more expensive.
Yeah, it's amazing. Jason, I want to talk a little bit about the momentum that has occurred on Capitol Hill. I think most Americans are keen to what the Biden administration has really been up to. And there's been enormous pushback, right? Bans on getting rid of our gas stoves, getting rid of some of the EV mandates. It seems like public will and is starting to push political solutions that are blocking the Biden administration. Are you encouraged by that?
I think the political will is starting to stand up against the ban on gas stoves and now gas vehicles, even though they've delayed their full ideas out a couple of years. It's like net zero. It's unreachable.
Right.
But they're going to continue to do it and drive up the cost of regular vehicles and just the cost for everything.
Hmm. Yeah. Jason, there is a nonpartisan energy organization that puts out a report at the end of each week that reports, it's a pie chart that reports on energy consumption by the American people. LNG is consistently between 62% and 65.5% of the consumption of energy by the United States. If we shut this down, aren't we forced to purchase dirty energy elsewhere?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. In banning liquefied natural gas facilities, we have an abundance of natural gas here in the United States that we produce more responsibly than anywhere else in the world. And Europe would absolutely love to have that natural gas. Over 70% of the fertilizer facilities that produce fertilizer in Europe right now are offline. They're shut down because they don't have that feedstock of natural gas. Wouldn't it be great if we could actually help our allies for once and get them affordable, reliable energy from natural gas right here in the United States? It'd be an economic benefit for our country and really for Europe, who are kind of at the hands of Russia at this point in time.
Yeah, no doubt. Jason, you have your radar up, I think, better than anyone in terms of what might be coming next down the Biden pike. Where is the war on our energy going to go next? Do you have some sense of where they're going to go next?
Yeah, well, the EPA continues its attack, whether it's this tailpipe rule that they called, just recently. It's the clean air rule where they're setting our standards even more strict that won't do anything to improve air quality. And we proved this during the COVID lockdowns. When you took half the vehicles off the road during the COVID lockdowns, air quality in a lot of U.S. cities got worse. And in some, it got a little bit better, but it was negligible in the United States. We are at a natural state of our air in this country. You can't improve it anymore. Places where you can improve it, China and India, a couple of countries that really don't care too much about the environment. China doesn't care a whole lot about human rights either. We should be producing more goods and more energy in this country and getting it around the world to help our allies and lift the last 3.5 billion people out of abject poverty on this planet. And we can do it with American energy.
Jason, EVs, especially here in Los Angeles, are everywhere. But you talk to almost any EV owner and they say, oh, yeah, we still have a gas powered car. For the regulations and the mandates that the Biden administration is imposing on car companies, shouldn't that reflect the fact that most EV owners also have a gas powered car?
Yeah, and most EV owners are wealthy individuals. It's a vast majority of them make over six figures. I know there's a lot of people in this country that would love to make over six figures a year. And in Los Angeles is a perfect example. Look at over 50% of the charging stations are out of order. And this is one of the reasons that support for electric vehicles is waning. People are concerned about getting a charge, fuel. It only takes minutes in a gasoline or diesel vehicle, but an electric vehicle, it takes a lot longer. They're concerned about the range. And if you live in a cold weather climate, sometimes you can't charge them at all.
Yeah, we saw that in this winter for sure. Jason, I want to talk a little bit about the auto industry. I think those Michigan auto workers are pretty keen on what Joe Biden's policies mean for them. Far less jobs in the future, far more dependence on one of our great geopolitical adversaries, China. Why is national security and economic security not more integrated into the arguments when Congress starts talking about this stuff?
Not really should when we do this China ESG agenda that we're seeing happening, and that's part of this transition to electric vehicles. I think it's the bloodbath that President Trump was speaking about, the decimation of our automobile industry here in the United States and shifting that production and manufacturing and really importing goods from China. We shouldn't be dependent on China for anything. And so I think people are starting to wake up to the realization. You look at Ford, their profits would have been doubled last year had it not been for the losses on electric vehicles. And so who's subsidizing that loss? It's the firefighters, it's the teachers, it's the first responders, it's municipal employees, it's those state pension funds that are invested in these companies by companies like BlackRock that are telling them they need to move forward with this energy transition, which, as I've testified in front of Congress, this virtue signaling is proving very expensive.
Investments in BlackRock are proving to be problematic for a number of corporations. News has come out over the last few weeks of a number of entities who are pulling their stock from BlackRock. Do you think that's a trend that's going to accelerate?
Yeah, I think so. It started with a lot of state treasurers that are part of the group called the State Financial Officers Foundation. Yeah. And really, as a result of legislation that I had the opportunity to write in 2020 that ultimately became law in Texas in 2021 that says if you're going to boycott, divest, or sanction fossil fuel producers, you're no longer welcome to do business with that state. And I think that's why Texas is probably it is the largest divestiture to date of BlackRock funds, because they're using those funds. They're actually investing in oil and gas companies and then telling them how to behave with threats of compensation to their executives. And in most cases, it's contrary to the best interest of their bottom line.
All right, folks, that wraps up the Easter Sunday brunch edition of John Solomon Reports. A happy Easter to you and your family. A happy spring weekend for anyone out and enjoying the weather or just enjoying their family, going for a walk, coloring belatedly some Easter eggs you should have done last night. I don't know what you're doing, but hey, have some fun. Embrace your loved ones. That's always a great thing, particularly on Easter weekend. A big thank you to Patrick Morrissey, Victoria Coates, Devin Nunes, John Tillman, and Jason and Isaac for a great set of conversations. I feel so much smarter after being part of them. And yeah, I'm sure you do too. Also, one last time, this will be the last pitch I will make. We've got just a few hours left, but if you want to do it, if you want to support Alliance Defending Freedom in their big Supreme Court cases, go to joinadf.com/John. Joinadf.com/John. All right, that wraps it up. We'll be back on Monday, a very special China Syndrome special. Oh my God, we got some great guests, James Comer, Robert Greenway, the incomparable voice, and one of the first people to warn that China was an emerging threat to the United States. We got so many good people back to back to back. Be sure to check them out tomorrow. Until then, God bless you and have a great night.